Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Appropriate that song is to kick off our month on the theme of grace. Grace. Grace can be a quite nebulous and confusing concept. And I can't say I really truly understand it. Can't really say I truly understand too much of anything. There's just that much of it that we're able to open ourselves up to. And we're constantly learning more and more about it. I think part of my personal confusion laid in the definition that I was being given of grace growing up. And it was a kind of sleight of hand that's problematic with the English language. That in the Bible, the New Testament, where our earliest records are actually in Greek, for reasons I won't even go into right now. The word that's used for grace is charis. Sometimes it's interpreted as love. Charis, out of which we get charity, our word charity. And the linguistic definition of it is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Which was always being interpreted to me as, you really didn't deserve it. It was favor that you got that you didn't deserve. It was unmerited. When I grew to understand later, and with my spirit letters making it very plain, it's not unmerited as in undeserving, it's unmerited as in without merit. It cannot be earned. It's favor that's not based on merit. That God's grace is not based upon what you do. You can't earn it. It is there for you just because. Just because. And we have a difficult time understanding that in a culture and a society that is so goal-oriented, for one, and that is so individualistically minded, as though the only good that you will ever have is the good that you do by pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Anything other than your bootstraps, you don't deserve. whether you were even allowed to have bootstraps or not. Let's keep it real. Or just the boots, period. My spirit definitions always describe the spiritual qualities as a place and a space of consciousness, not an object to be sought after, but a place and a space and consciousness, an activity that every spiritual quality is actually a verb happening in, through, and as us. And there's something that we have to bring to the table that meets something that's already there, and it is the combustion of this energy that allows us to experience the spiritual quality. And it describes grace as that place. It says where your spoken and unspoken needs delight in my intentional provision. Grace, the place where your spoken and unspoken needs delight in my intentional provision. Spoken and unspoken needs. See, there are things that we need that we don't even know that we need. You take the mystery of our body temple, for example. There are millions of processes that are going on simultaneously right now, in this moment, that we don't even understand, that we don't even know. There are processes that need to happen that are already programmed, already living in its own perfect system, where every cell, every fiber is filled with an intelligence and a wisdom and knows exactly what it is supposed to do. We live in such a universe. We live in such a universe that without our interference, everything is sustainable. We don't have to make stuff sustainable. We got to get out of the way of making it unsustainable. I want you to catch that. It is not up to us to make the environment or anything sustainable. It is sustainable. We've gotten in the way. Your body is sustainable. Everything is sustainable if we don't get in the way and take it off course. We don't need to save the planet. We'll be lucky if we're saved. We'll be lucky if the planet is generous enough to let us stay on it. 'Cause Bust Your Mama ain't playing. She will get the last word. We ain't that important. Planet needs to heal. It needs to heal. It's just like your body temple. You break your arm or something, it needs to heal. You got to stop doing whatever you did to break it long enough to let it heal. It will heal. Our spoken and unspoken needs. Sometimes things are so deep we can't even articulate it. Sometimes it's so deep we're afraid to articulate it. And one of the things I love about this definition, it says it's the place where our spoken and unspoken needs delight. Now, there would have been a time, actually most of my life, that would have felt like an oxymoron. That would have felt like a contradiction. that needs could delight. That needs could delight. That somehow or another, the concept of need itself carried with it a certain amount of lack, limitation, deprivation, wantingness, incompleteness, lack of joy, the idea of a need delighting would have been a contradiction in my mind. But just think about the implications of that for a moment. What if your needs were delighting? What if your needs weren't in worry? What if we really understood that there was an intentional provision? An intentional provision. Once again, we have this idea that we're making things happen. And we're really not. We're participating in a bounty that was here before we got here. We're alive right now because something has provided us air. We're alive right now because the earth is producing food. We're alive right now because the sun is shining. There's blood that's pumping through our veins. We just heard this exquisite music. Music existed before we wrote the song. You know, we're here rejoicing in these body temples. But guess what? We are part of an unbroken chain of life since the beginning of humanity. Can you imagine that? Just let that sink in for a moment. You are part of an unbroken chain of life since the beginning of humanity. You didn't get here alone. There's nothing alone. We have people's DNA. We have their cells. We have their chromosome, consciousness. There's stuff that's being passed on to us. And how exquisite some of that is. We just heard Tammy play so beautifully. Okay? Tammy is what we would call a child prodigy. When Tammy was 8 years old, she was the church organist at two churches, 45 miles apart in Texas. It's like, where does all that come from? When you think, is that your mind? You're using the mind of God. When you love, it's not your love. You don't have your own love. There's love, and you get to participate in love. When you create, it's not your creation. There's the creative energy, and you have the opportunity to tap into it and to use it. But it's not dependent on you. It's going to be there whether you choose to partake of it or not. We're not making joy. We're not making prosperity. We're not making anything. It's already provided. It's already here. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. It's a rejoice. The joy is already here. We're recycling it. You're rejoicing. People, places, and things aren't the source. They are resources. The source is already here. It's a resource. Remember that. When we're out worried about the resources, don't make the resources the source. There's a source. And it will come through whatever it needs to come through. If that door seems to be closed and it's not being provided through that, it will be provided through something else. If it's not that job, it'll be another job. If it's not that person, it'll be another person. If it's not that house, it'll be another house. Because there's always a provision that's there. So you're looking for a house. You're looking for a place to stay. Guess what? It's probably already built. You're looking for a mate. You're looking for a partner. Guess what? There's a good chance they might actually be born. You're hungry. You're hungry. I don't care whether you're homeless or whether you're living in a $1 million house. There's a good chance when it's time to eat, the earth provided some food somewhere. So if you can imagine for a moment, if our sense of need could even just conceive of, let alone delight in, the idea that there's provision. And not just any old provision, intentional provision. I am always in awe of the intelligence of the universe. You could take the simplest thing like an ear. You know how complicated an ear is? You take something like sight. I remember chuckling in one of my spirit letters where spirit was challenged with chastising humanity and saying how we don't believe in stuff until we see it. And how we're looking around at the appearances to be proof positive that God doesn't exist. He says, how dare you use an apparatus I gave you to try to prove I don't exist? It reminds me of that joke I like to tell from time to time about the scientists that thought that they found the Geno gene and that they knew how to make human beings. So they challenged God to a duel to see who could make the human being the fastest. So they chose location, they chose the time, right? He shows up. You mark, you set, go. So all of a sudden the scientists go down and start scooping up some dirt. And God says, mm-mm, get your own dirt. So I want you to remember that. Remember that. That when we think, you know, just like in the song Living Grace, you know, that's my diary. It's like when we think it's all on our shoulders, when we think that everything's up to us, that even the things that we're using was provided for us before we thought it was on our shoulders. Like the scientist, you think you're going to make humanity, but the very stuff that you think you're going to use was already provided. And it's intentional. We live in a perfect world, in a perfect universe. There would be social justice if we didn't get in the way. things that we think are new, there's nothing new about it. We're just simply trying to get back to something that existed beforehand. This is kind of an irony of movements. That whenever you look at a movement, a political movement, a religious movement, an artistic movement, any kind of movement, it gives the appearance as though it's moving forward. But when you look underneath it, every movement is trying to get back. Every movement is a protest of the status quo, which is interfering with a more natural order of things. So if you have a jazz movement, it's in protest of too much structure and rigidity that is stopping the creativity. If you have a civil rights protest movement, it's in protest of laws that are restricting and which are ignoring the God-given equality that we all have. See, every movement is trying to get back to something. So when we're doing this sustainability stuff, and I've been talking about this a lot. I was just at a training with the democracy schools at the Pachamama office last week. And I'm newly on their board of directors of the Pachamama Alliance. Yes. And I have a unique role in terms of assisting them in the work that they're going to be doing, we're going to be doing out in the world around social justice. So as we were talking about all of these environmental sustainability things, and I've been particularly trying to get people sensitive to understanding the reasons why there's such a schism between the environmentalists and the social justice folks, and why they're not working together, and what is it that we're going to need to be able to work together. So they were getting it. I said, you know, part of it is the way that we put forth what it is that we're doing. Well, we're making it seem like we have invented sustainability. Like we have invented all of this stuff. That we're just rediscovering it. That's part of what I like about the Pachamama Alliance, is this understanding that there is wisdom from our indigenous ancestors. Wisdom from our indigenous ancestors that needs to infuse our technological competence. Yes. But that if we continue with the technologies that we have, without understanding the primitive, primal, primordial interdependence and interconnectedness of everything, then our technologies are going to continue to take us on paths that aren't sustainable because they're not perceiving themselves to be part of the whole. And such it is with our lives. There is an intentional provision. There's an energetic vibration that's happening that we are all a part of. The good you seek is seeking you. The good you seek is seeking you. The good you seek is seeking you. Stop being apologetic for your life. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I was saying, she was saying, like, well, she has difficulty in asking people for help. And I said, then don't ask them for help. Stop thinking of it as asking people for help. Declare who you are and what you're doing. Just come out of the closet about what you're doing. Make it plain. Just share what's going on, and there will be opportunities for someone to play with you, for whom it will be a mutual blessing. But we don't have to walk around ashamed of our needs. We don't have to walk around ashamed of our fears. There is always the perfect match. I don't care what it is. You could need childcare. Well, you know what? There's somebody that needs the laughter of your children. And if we would have the audacity, just imagine how different the world would be. If you started off with the assumption that the need was met. If you started off with the assumption that the need was met. And we see all through Scripture, whether it's the 23rd Psalms, whether it's the Lord's Prayer, feeding of the 5,000, I mean, we could go on and on and on, but it's always this notion that your specific need is met. When we hear the Lord's Prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, when we hear, "Give us this day our daily bread," we interpret that as a ration. Kind of like the little broken up crackers we used to have for communion. Some churches use wafers. Like everybody just gets the same little wafer. But that's not what that means. That word daily bread is a constructed word. It only shows up that one time in all of Scripture. Because Jesus put together these concepts. And a linguistic definition of it would be sustenance that meets your need from day to day. Not just daily bread, but whatever that is that you need, whatever that is that your family needs. In the story of Exodus, the manna from heaven that was coming down every day. Literally, the linguistic meaning of manna, what is it? Manna means, what is it? They didn't even know what it was. What is this stuff? This gooey stuff. This stuff on the floor. They're on the ground. Check this out. The symbolism here. You couldn't save it. You couldn't hoard it. You just had to show up for it every day. And understanding the need, you'd get a double portion before the Sabbath. So you didn't have to work the Sabbath. You are being provided for. I cannot say that enough. And you say, well, how do I know? Test it. Prove me. It says in Scripture all the time. Prove me. Have the audacity to try. Have the audacity to believe. Have the audacity because, see, whatever we think in our minds, we're bringing into manifestation. Cultivate within yourself the capacity to even imagine that there is something in the universe, call it whatever you will, but it knows you very specifically. It's just like there are laws out there of nature that know how to make the plants grow. And if you plant a little tree or a little bush, or a little pot of something in your house, it knows how to make that one in your house grow. Whatever that is that's making it grow all over the world isn't going to skip over your house. It's going to work in your house. And it's going to work in your garden. Whatever that is that makes things heal. You have a little paper cut on your finger. It's going to work on your finger. It's not just an abstract concept of healing. It works where you work. It lives where you live. Already thought out. Isn't that amazing? That your body already knows how to heal before it's injured. Your body already knows how to heal before it's injured. The plants know how to grow before the seeds are planted. The music knows how to come out before anybody sings it. Love knows how to make their heart rejoice before you were born. Oh, this is such good news. This is the grace. This is the grace. That just because it works this way, that's not going to pass you up because of what you did. That's not going to pass you up because of what your mama didn't do, or what your daddy did, or what the government did, or the this one did, or the that one did. It don't care. It doesn't care. It just keeps being. God makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And that's how it is. The abundance, the love, the joy, the peace, the power, it's there for the having. If we will have it, if we will accept and believe the fact that it is there intentionally for us. It isn't that God hasn't provided. We can't let us believe it's us. But there's no reason in the world why not you. No reason in the world why not you. We are never alone. We're never alone. This intelligence I'm talking about, we are living and moving and having our being in it. Just like there's air in your lungs, yes? Only because you're moving in air. God is within, yes? Because you're living in God. Already here. Before we even arrive. Isn't that wonderful? Can you say with me now, my needs are provided for.
My needs are provided for.
My needs are provided for.
Because there's provision I don't have to need.
Because there's provision I don't have to need. One more time. Because there's provision I don't need.
Yes.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Our theme this month is renewal. Renewal. My topic today is ready to receive. Being ready to receive. We've been talking this month about the fact that renewal is a continuous process. It's not just something that stops and starts. It's always available. We're usually waiting for something external to happen or some sign that it's our time that we can renew. But the potential and the opportunity to renew is always available. It's we that must show up. We're waiting for something else to show up, to renew us, But it's we that have to show up to participate in the energy field of renewal that's always there. Life is always in session. In spirit, there is nothing that is happening at this hour that was not happening at another hour. There is not more God in the biblical days than there is today. There's not more God on the Himalayas than there is in Harlem. There is God everywhere, everywhere present simultaneously. I always get so inspired and uplifted whenever I do prison outreach work. And I've been doing a lot more of it. And lately, I spent the day in Vacaville, which is the first time that I had a chance to be in that particular facility. I went with Barrios Unidos and Gina Renee and some other folks to the concert with the inmates there, and I had a chance to pray and do some things. It's known as a medical facility, and we also had a chance to go into the hospice and to meet with some of the guys there, all of them very still lucid. But these rich conversations with people who are facing the end of this incarnation. And I tell you, it just proved to me once again that God is everywhere. Because we're living in God. I say this time and time again, there's air in our lungs because we're walking around in air. We keep having this thing about like, well, where is God? Is God up there, out there, in us, outside of us? God is everywhere. And we are living and moving and having our being in it. See, love does not stop and start. Music doesn't stop and start. Peace and joy doesn't stop and start. It's always going on. We're the ones who are stopping and starting. Creativity does not stop or start. Power, peace doesn't stop and start. It is continuously going. And we're the ones who are making that decision and saying, well, no, it can't happen now. Or it can't possibly be in this place or that place. This other thing has to happen first. Oh, no. The renewal is always there. The question is, are you ready to receive? Are we going to the river of life with a thimble or a bucket? Because you get to have however much you can contain. Think about those times in your life when you have felt like you weren't being fed enough, whatever that is. You didn't have enough prosperity. You didn't have enough joy. You didn't have enough power or peace or creative expression or companionship, whatever that thing was. And noticed how there came a point in time when you opened yourself up to the possibility of more. And you felt expanded. I love that prayer of Jabez, enlarge my territory. This is not colonialism. Let me enlarge over somebody else's territory. It's enlarge my territory. My sense of who I am and my sense of my possibility. Are you ready to receive? Now, if you study scripture, one of the things that always amazed me about Jesus is that he was always doing one or two things whenever these quote unquote miracles would take place. He was either assessing people's capacity to receive, their readiness to receive, or he was acknowledging the fact that their readiness to receive is why they received the blessing. But that notion of the receptivity, wilt thou be made whole? Will you? It's already here. The question is, will you? Will you? People were always trying to give him credit. You see, no, it's not me. I'm not the one doing anything. I'm a catalyst here. I'm a conduit here. But there is something that's working through me, and it's working through all of us, and it is here for you if you will but receive it. If that's what you're willing to do. There's a famous miracle that shows up. And it's sometimes referred to as touching the hem of his garment. And in this story, Jesus is moving through these throngs of people. And he turns around at some point and says to his disciples, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And they're like, "You got to be kidding." There are thousands of people around me. But the word touch that he's using there is not the touch that's just to lay your hand on something. It's the same touch that's being used when he says, "Touch me not," at the point in time when he's supposedly in a resurrected state. It means to exert an influence over something. It's like when I say I was very touched by that. It was very touching. There's something that's happened here. And he says, "Who touched me?" And they're just looking at it. And the King James Version uses the word virtue. He said, it said, "Virtue went out of me." But a more accurate definition of that would be power. He says, "Power went out of me. Somebody around here touched me. And something happened to me." Catch that. Something happened to me. Somebody tapped in to me. And got something. Who was that? So he's looking around. And this woman confesses. Now, mind you, according to the day, she had no right to touch him. Not only did she have no right to touch him, it was a sin to touch him. Because women who were bleeding were considered unclean. Not even their husbands were allowed to touch them during that time and that culture. Not only was she bleeding, she had been bleeding for 12 years. And he sits down and he listens to her story. And she explains how she was just at her wit's end. She tried everything. She'd used up all her savings, all her money and whatnot with doctors, and nobody could do anything for her. She said, "But yet, somehow I knew if I could just get close to you, if I could just touch the hem of your garment." Now, one of the things that was very popular in that day, and Jesus wore a particular kind of a robe, and it was called the seamless robe, which was a sign of great royalty, even though he was a very poor man. And in the hems of the seamless robes were sewn in prayers. There were prayers in the bottom of the garment. She says, "I don't even have to touch. I just want to get close to that prayer." Just the one that he's walking around with. Are you kidding? This is a woman who was ready to receive. This is a woman who was ready to receive. This is a woman who did not take no for an answer. This is a woman that said, "I don't care that the doctors don't know what to do. I'm ready for a healing. I'm ready for a healing." And he says to her, "Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. You came to me with the faith already. You already had it. This was time and time again. I can just go through like miracle after miracle. Your faith has made you whole. You've already done it. When he describes someone as having the greatest faith of anybody he's ever seen, it was a Roman. It was a Roman officer. The enemy. Time and time again, he always uses these examples of the most unlikely, the one who shouldn't have it, the pagan Roman, this woman who has an issue of blood, the best neighbor is a Samaritan. Oh my God, you weren't even supposed to speak to them. But they're all ready to receive. Do you feel that? God doesn't care. God doesn't care about all that stuff. God doesn't care about your identity politics. God doesn't care about your economic status. God doesn't care about your sect or your culture or all of the rest of that kind of stuff. God's not discriminating against you because of your religious beliefs. God answers all prayer. God answers all prayer. There is a way. And that way is that place of the connectedness. Jesus described it as the Our Father. That when you're praying to a God, not just your God, but to the God of all of us. Not just the God of my people, or the God of my religion, or the God of my this, but the one of all of ours. Give us this day. Not me. Us. The Lord's Prayer is a collective prayer. It is a collective consciousness. It is a collective readiness. Give us this day. Our daily bread. This is not a ration. This is not a predetermined amount. Daily bread. This is actually a phrase that he made up. It doesn't show up anyplace else. A more linguistically correct definition of that would be substance for our need from day to day. The substance for our need from day to day. And this image or this concept is used repeatedly in Scripture, whether it's the feeding of the 5,000 where everyone's needs were met, whether it's the manna from heaven, this supply that comes every day where all families' needs are met. In the Lord's Prayer, all our needs, each of our needs, all of our family's needs from day to day. That's a prayer of a readiness to receive. I want you to, it's not just, well, I'm sitting here in my lack, in my limitation, and God, will you give me some bread today? It's, I'm showing up ready this day and every day because there's never a day when it's not there. There's never a day when it's not there. And I'm showing up. I'm showing up. We make the mistake sometimes when we can't see the way of thinking that there's no way. Sometimes I think we misunderstand when we say that God makes a way out of no way. It's a trip with the English language. When it says in Scripture that Spirit God is creating out of, we say in the English way, language, nothing. It's not nothing. It's the no thing. Catch the difference. That it isn't, this creative energy is transcendent of things. Whether you want to call it the void, the place of all possibility. There's this place beyond the things. The things come out of it, but the things don't limit or define it. The things are just evidence that there is an it. But we're so busy looking at the things and thinking that our good is going to come from the things. No, our good is going to come from where the things came from. That there's someplace beyond that. If you're writing a new song, you're not thinking that the next song is just going to come from the songs that are already there. The songs are going to come from the place where those songs came from. If you're in a new relationship or something and there's new love that's happening, you're not thinking that the love that you're going to bring to this relationship is just an extrapolation from the love out of other previous relationships. There's a reservoir of love that I'm going to renew in, that I'm going to tap into, and there's going to be some other love that's going to come through that's coming from the same place that the other stuff came from. I love it the way that Deepak Chopra puts it when people are saying, well, where's the good going to come from? He says, from wherever it is now. That's where it's going to come from. When I say a little bit more about this receiving before I end, that this place of receiving means not just that we're ready to receive it, but that we are open enough to be honest about the need to receive it. Many of us want to receive, but we don't want to admit. That there's something that we need because we're embarrassed about it or whatever. We think we should have had it or what is it going to say about me if I don't have it or am I begging and am I whining? You know, is this that I'm not good enough? Yada, yada, yada. So, yes, I want to receive it, but at the same time, energetically, I'm shut down in fear or shame or guilt or confusion or whatever about the sense that I need it, want it. And the energy of that shutdown and the guilt registers no. Resistance, hiding, shame, guilt, doubt, worry, fear, all of those things, lack, limitation, they all register no. So don't be afraid to put it out there and don't misunderstand other people's putting it out there and labeling it as them having lack and limitation consciousness. Because people are willing sometimes. And there's a difference, you'll know, there's a difference in putting it out there with a declaration without having attachment to how it comes. See? It's lack of limitation when folks are putting it out there and they're stressing about the way that it's not coming. And having particular expectations that it's just got to be this way. Now that's lack and limitation. And the lack and limitation is in their possibility consciousness about all the different ways that it can get there. But you want to send some clear signals out there. If you're ready, your signal needs to say, I'm ready. Clear. And have no attachment to whatever it is that you think that you're doing to say that you're ready. I tell people quite often, update your resume, whether you're looking for a job or not. There's an assessment that takes place of your own personal self, where you begin to really take stock of yourself as an asset, or your curriculum vitae, your CV, that the purpose of your doing your resume, even if you are looking for a job, is not for the purpose of getting somebody to hire you. The purpose of your doing your resume is your declaration to the world of your readiness. And there's a very good chance that the person that actually hires you never sees your resume. That's particularly true in corporate environments. Maybe somebody saw it someplace, but the one that makes the final decision is interviewing you, not your resume. They're vibing you and your consciousness and your energy field, your openness and receptivity, and it's you. And you should be doing that back to them because it is a relationship. I remember the first large gift that ever came to Inner Light. We were looking for space at the time. We're like a rental, and we'd had a particular goal, and I was very disappointed because we had fallen very short of that goal. And this woman comes up to me. She had been in one of the choirs that sang that day. And she said to me, I'm going to give you $25,000. And I remember I literally kind of like stumbled a little bit. And she said, it's in stock. And I started rattling on and on about this very, very fine business plan that we had put out there. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't even know anything about that. You're giving me $25,000 and you have no idea that I'm looking for the money or that we got this business plan? Mm-mm. She just looked at me and she says, I see you, this is what she said, I see you in a crystal cathedral in the woods. She said, and I know I'm supposed to help you get there. She said, this is stock. She said, I'm spending my children's inheritance. She said, but that's okay. And she gave a stock. I just want you to catch that. Like, the ask was out there in the universe of a readiness to receive. That's beyond you. It's beyond you. So you don't have to worry about, have you met everybody? Has everybody seen all your marketing? How do you reach all your clients? And la-di-da-di. Just put it out there that you're ready. And the good you seek is seeking you. The good you seek is seeking you. So I'm going to come back to that story one day and give you the installment plan here of a conversation we had years after that where that amount of money came back to her tenfold. And she was explaining to me how, okay, I'll do the cliff notes. Because I saw some folks going like, I'm never going to hear that story. So she had been in a marriage for a very long time and had divorced about the time that she gave us this money. And a few years after that, her ex-husband called her up and told her, reminded her about a little warehouse in the Silicon Valley that they had bought. He was a techie. He had bought with his business partner like 35 years before or something like that for a small amount of money. But it had sold for $1 million, too. So by the time they split the money between the two couples, because they had all bought it in joint property, that each of the couples was getting about $600,000 each. And by the time they got through with all of the, you know, fees and all the other stuff that they had to do, he said, I'm sending you a check. She was getting a check for like $250,000. Out of the blue, property she hadn't even thought about in decades. And she said, I just wanted to call you, she said, because I knew in that moment, I knew it was my tenfold bag. I knew. Just be ready to receive. How many of us would have been, I'm done. I'm divorced. I'm done with that. I'm done with whatever. I'm not saying that was her attitude, but you know, I'm done. I'm done. And your good could be sitting right there in something that was about the two of you before. You don't know where your good's coming from. Reminds me of a line in one of my old rap songs years ago when I lived in L.A. One of the lines was there is, I guess a need to be nice, need to be kind to everybody just in case. You decide they are the channel for my good. The same for a thing or a place. People, places, and things. I love that song. It starts off, well, I love humanity. It's people I don't like. Let's pray. Turn within in this moment. And I'm knowing that something great, grand, and glorious, something special is happening this day. And it's us. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, creator of all living things. Thank you for renewal. For your continuous redemption. You see good in everybody and everything, and you call it forth. So in this moment right now, we have the courage to drop the judgments about anybody, including ourselves. We let go of all reasons why not, and step forth ready to receive the blessing. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. And I say thank you. Thank you for showing up this day as prosperity and abundance. Thank you for showing up this day as health and healing in the body temple. Thank you for showing up this day as divine right employment, as reconciliation, Thank you for showing up as joy and peace in the midnight hour. Thank you for being trust and truth and wholeness and integrity, faith and courage and strength and balance and oneness and grace and ease. Thank you for being divine right companionship, guidance and direction, clarity in the midst of confusion. Thank you for opening doors that we didn't even know existed. For going before us and making the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. Thank you. Give us the courage to pry our hands off of people whom you've called home. To wish them speed on their journey back to the beginning. Give us the strength to accept the newness when we wanted you to just give us the same thing again or a new version of the old. We trust your wisdom and your guidance. This is a day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in this day. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. I release this word. I'm knowing that it is done. It is good. It was done, for I spoke it. I'm just moving into alignment and opening up my mind to see what was already there. Thank you. It is good. It is done. We get out of the way. We allow it to be. And so it is. Amen and amen.
Remember that you're always there. Or trust you with my
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.